Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Daniel White the Third with the Scripture and the Sense podcast number 170, where I read the Word of God and give the sense of it based on an authoritative commentary source such as the Bible Knowledge Commentary or Matthew Henry's commentary or some other great commentary. This podcast is based upon Nehemiah 8:8, where it says Ezra and the Levites read in the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading of the Word of God. The aim of this podcast is that through the simple reading of the Word of God, the Holy Bible, and the giving of the sense of it, the understanding of it, the church would be revived and the world would be awakened. Dear friends, today we are reading Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the Most Holy. Dear friends, I just read in your hearing Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. Now here is the sense of it, or the understanding of it, from the Bible Knowledge Commentary. Daniel was first informed that God's program would be consummated in 70 sevens. Since Daniel had been thinking of God's program in terms of years, it would be most natural for him to understand these sevens as years, whereas people today think in units of tens. Daniel's people thought in terms of sevens. 7 days are in 1 week. Every seventh year was a Sabbath rest year. Seven sevens brought them to the year of Jubilee. Allow me to repeat that. 7 days are in 1 week. Every seventh year was a Sabbath rest year. Seven sevens brought them to the year of Jubilee. 70 sevens then is a span of 490 years. The 490 could not designate days, about 1 1/3 years, for that would not be enough time for the events prophesied in Daniel 9:24-27 to occur. The same is true of 490 weeks of 7 days rather each. Also, if days were intended, one would expect Daniel to have added of days after 70 sevens, for in 10 chapter 10, verses 2 and 3, he wrote literally three sevens of days, 3 weeks. Also, since Israel and Judah had failed to keep the sabbatical years, every seventh year the land was to lie fallow. Throughout her history, the Lord enforced on the land 70 Sabbaths. Thus, 490 years would be required to complete 70 sabbatical years, with one occurring every seventh year. This span of time was decreed for Daniel's people and the holy city. This prophecy then is concerned about not with world history or church history, but with the history of Israel and the city of Jerusalem. By the time these 490 years run their course, God will have completed 6 things for Israel. The first 3 have to do with sin, and the second 3 with the kingdom. The basis for the first 3 was provided in the work of Christ on the cross, but all 6 will be realized by Israel at the second advent of Christ. Number 1, at the end of the 490 years, God will finish the transgression of Israel. The verb to finish means to bring something to an end. Israel's sin of disobedience will be brought to an end at Christ's second coming, when she repents and turns to him as her Messiah and Savior. Then she will be restored to the land and blessed in answer to Daniel's prayer. In Old Testament days, the high point in Israel's festival calendar was the Day of Atonement. On that day, the nation assembled before God, acknowledged her sin, and offered blood sacrifices to cover that sin. Though that sacrifice covered Israel's sin for 12 months, it did not permanently remove that sin. It was necessary that a sacrifice be offered God that would permanently remove all the accumulated sins. This sacrifice was offered by Jesus Christ, who by his death made payment for all sins that had not been removed in the past. So his atoning work on the cross has made possible his future finishing of Israel's transgression. He is the sacrificial Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world. Number 2, God will put an end to sin. This verb has the idea of sealing up. Here the thought is sealing something up with a view to punishment. This emphasized that Israel's sin, which had gone unpunished, would be punished in or through Jesus Christ, her substitute, who would bear the sins of the world on the cross. Then, at Christ's second coming, he will remove Israel's sin. Number 3, God will atone for wickedness. The verb to atone means to cover or expiate. This too relates to God's final atonement of Israel when he repents at Christ's second coming, when she repents at Christ's second coming, if you will, as the provision for that atonement has already been made at the cross. Israel's Day of Atonement should be kept in view here, too, as in the first of these six accomplishments. On that day, God provided a just basis on which he would deal with a guilty people. The blood applied to the mercy seat over the Ark of the Covenant enabled him to dwell among his sinful people. Similarly, Daniel's prophecy promised that because of Christ's blood shed on the cross, God would deal with sinners, and here in particular with sinners in Israel. Being propitiated by Christ's blood, God can atone for or expiate sin. The Greek words for atonement, cover, and propitiate are related, rather. Number four, the second three accomplishments deal with positive aspects of God's program being satisfied by the death of Christ. God will bring in everlasting righteousness. The form of the verb bring in here means to cause to come in. The word everlasting means ages. Thus, this phrase, to bring in righteousness of ages, is a prophecy that God will establish an age characterized by righteousness. This is a reference to the millennial kingdom. Number five, God will seal up vision and prophecy. All that God, through the prophet, said he would do in fulfilling his covenant with Israel will be fully realized in the millennial kingdom. Until they are fulfilled, prophecies are unsealed. Number six, God will anoint the most holy. This may refer to the dedication of the most holy place in the millennial temple, described in Ezekiel 41-46, or it may refer not to a holy place, but to the Holy One, Israel, to the Holy One, Jesus Christ. If so, this speaks of the enthronement of Christ, the Anointed One, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in the millennium. These six accomplishments then anticipate the establishment of Israel's covenanted millennial kingdom under the authority of her promised King. The six summarize God's whole program to bring the nation Israel the blessings he promised through his covenants. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the Scripture and the Sense podcast. Please remember to read the Word of God, the Holy Bible, each and every day of your life, and pray without ceasing to God about everything, and for wisdom to understand his Word and apply it to your life. Most importantly, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou, you shalt be saved. Please stay tuned for a complete presentation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ so that you can get your soul saved from hell to that wonderful place called heaven when you die. May God bless you and keep you, is my prayer. Now, dear friends, if you're with us today and you do not know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him, Jesus Christ, for your soul's salvation from sin and hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have failed God. We're all guilty before God. You do not have the right to look down your nose at others. You're just as wicked as others. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin always. You will be paid for your sins one day.
The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Our payday someday is death to these beautiful bodies. Death to so many things before you die. Death to marriages. Death to relationships. Death to material things. You will experience 1,000 deaths before you die because of sin. But ultimately you will die physically. Your body will be put in a cold, dark grave. And that ought to be frightening, because it is frightening. But more frightening is that your soul, if it dies without Christ, will go to a burning hell to spend eternity in a dark place, even though there's fire. You say, "Preacher, I don't believe that a loving God would put people in the hell." Well, Jesus Christ, the loving and lowly one, preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ, the loving one and the lowly one, preached more on hell than any prophet in the Bible. He said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible says in Revelation 21, 8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Whatever you do, don't experience the second death, because it's bad news. Hell is bad news. But I have good news for you. You don't have to go to hell. Jesus suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. And he said these words to you before he left here: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, perish in hell, "but have everlasting life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shalt be saved." Pray and ask Jesus Christ to save your soul and to come into your heart and change your life. He will do it. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again, and you're ready to trust him as your Savior, pray and ask him to save you, and he will. I'll be glad to lead you in prayer in what is called the sinner's prayer, or the prayer of salvation. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, that I have done evil in your sight. I am guilty because I have broken your Ten Commandments, your law. I've taken your holy name in vain. I've dishonored and disobeyed and disrespected my own parents. I have lied many times before. I have lusted after people and things and what others have. I've stolen things before. So Lord, that's 5 to 6 commandments I've already broken out of your Ten Commandments. And so please have mercy and grace upon me. For your holy Son's sake, Jesus Christ, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart, the best way that I know how, in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and he bled and he died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. And help me to turn from my evil ways. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, dear friend, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. And Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good until next time. Now, I may be traveling here over the next few days, and but I will resume preaching as soon as I get back, and I will do some preaching while I'm on the road. So thank you so much for your prayers. Please continue to pray for us. And we will continue to pray for you. God bless you. Until next time.
If you look at the hard left and how they treat law enforcement in the last 5 or 6